Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Dude, so what is going on with your Monday?
Oh my God, my Monday's actually quite insane. Just to say this is going to put it in perspective. So it's 1:08 p.m. in my time zone, and I have 900, I just checked, 978 steps for the day. Yeah, I'm behind. I've only drinking like 45 ounces of water. I'm behind. And I've only had two meals. I'm behind on that as well. So my day's been a little bit crazy. I've had quite a few client check-ins, actually. Like three of my people from Sunday didn't get back to me until today. So like that was backed up. And on top of just my regular Monday people. And I was just like, felt like I was behind. And then obviously I have a child to take care of. His dad's working today and his dad works 12-hour shifts. So like solo parenting. So it's just crazy Monday, dude. Like it's like the Monday of all Mondays. And like, yeah, just like my child shit all over the living room floor again today. And it's just like, okay. I mean, but it's good. It's good. I can't really complain and don't really feel like horrible. It's just like it feels nonstop, is what it's just like a lot of fucking things I'm trying to put on my plate. And for me, like Mondays are my Fridays. So I try and get everything wrapped up because I have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. Like from like check-ins and things like that. So it's like my weekend's about to start. So I'm just like, get all the chores done, get all the check-in done, wrap everything up with my clients, record our podcast, you know, just like,
yeah,
and get it all done. And like, you know, in 24 hours and I sleep for like 12 of those hours. So I don't really have 24 hours. And it's like, damn, but that's my Monday. How's yours?
Good. My in-laws came into town. So we saw some fireworks with them, you know, kind of did some stuff, had them over for like a little barbecue, 4th of July. Did some other shit downtown to just like, I don't want to say entertain them because that sounds like really hollow, but like, you know, to like spend time with them and stuff like that. So it was good to see them because we haven't seen them since Christmas of last year. So it was nice that they made the trip all the way down. But other than that, it's pretty much business as usual. Like nothing is like really going on. The only thing to report is my fig tree is producing figs. And so we've been rocking the fresh fig life the past like 2 weeks.
A fig tree, dude.
Yeah, it came with the house. And I will say it is really cool to have fresh figs because I don't think figs are one of those things that you can get fresh at the supermarket unless it's like a very specialty store. But I will say it is one thing where you have like a month and a half of like figs up your asshole. And then you have no figs. So it's like every meal, fig, 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 right? Because they will go bad so quickly unless I dehydrate them or whatever, which is how you normally buy them. But like having a fresh fig is such a wonderful experience that I can't bring myself to want to dehydrate them because they're just so good on their own that I don't want to absorb the moisture. Like I just want a fresh fig. So
this is funny. I don't really know what a fig is. I just Googled it because I wanted to see what a picture of it was. I've never had one.
They're
so
good.
What does it taste like? Is it juicy? Is it kind of like a pomegranate? Because that's what this reminds me of.
No, not at all. So pomegranate seeds are very tart and juicy. And I would say quick on the palate. Figs are much more fruity, but they are mild. Like obviously, if it's super ripe, it'll be more like, it's more, when I say pasty, that's going to sound bad, but it's more of a paste when you eat it and chew it versus like a bright burst of like pomegranate. If you've ever had fig Newtons, that's where that fig comes from, but it's more of like a general paste, but it's not like juicy per se. Like, you know, when you like bite into like a fresh peach and it like, no, it's not like that, but they are just like very mild and fruity, but they're different. So it's nice.
So how do you like prepare them? Like,
honestly, dude,
outside you can't. It's like a shell, right? Or no?
No, you can't eat the whole thing. The only thing you don't want to eat is like the little like nugget that attaches to the tree limb because that is a little like difficult to eat. So you just like destem it, and then you can pop them in your mouth like blueberries. I like to cut them in half and put them in yogurt. Like a big thing, I think, I don't know, I might be sounding like an uncultured potato here, but I think a big way to eat them is like if you want to do like figs, honey, and like some type of cheese, like that's pretty big on like charcuterie boards, because I think it was more of like a Grecian thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I
Eric
like.
said Italy, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about it. Oh, they have one that's, you know, those that's it bars that you eat? There's a fig flavored.
Yes, I've had those in the past.
I tried that's it bar like one of them once because I saw you eat them and I wanted to be like you and I thought they were like it was so disgusting for me.
They are an ends to a mean.
Yeah, I get that for like, I mean, they're like very carb dense and small. And I guess I just like didn't like not what I expected. And like, I'm a texture person. So I'm like, ooh,
You might
whatever.
not like figs. It's a unique texture, and I probably would compare it to more like the that's it kind of, but not as dry, not as hard to eat, I would
But like,
say.
now I don't even want to get them from a store though, like to go try them because you said they're Shedé from the store. So.
I don't think you can even buy fresh figs from the store.
No, I feel like a lot of them are like the dried fig. And I'm not, unless I get a fig Newton, that's gooey in the middle, I guess.
I actually
But
do like a fig Newton. I do.
I never had one.
I grew up eating fig Newtons, and I am a fan.
I'm a fig Newton girl.
I'm a fig Newton. I'm definitely a fig fan. But yeah, that was like really the only thing I think worth like talking about and noting. I really can't think of anything that is going on, you know what I'm saying?
Let's see. For me, like another cool thing, I guess, is I'm not really even trying to diet. I'm trying to just get back into like macro tracking. Hit a new low today, which is cool, I guess.
Solid. Me
I mean,
too, friends.
it's no surprise though, dude. Like, I mean, I stopped just eating whatever I wanted whenever I wanted. So it's like, okay, reel it in, which is fine, which is great. But like, I was like looking back at like when I weighed the same. Approximately the same to like now, and I'm like, oh my God, I have lost so much density just from obviously like pregnancy. So like obviously I have a lot more fat storage now, and like I'm still like breastfeeding, so like my hormones are probably in the garbage. Like I still don't have a cycle, which isn't uncommon. So like my progesterone and my estrogen are probably just fucking tanks still, and they're gonna be suppressed just because like I am still like pumping, breastfeeding. And I am like quote unquote like an overproducer. So like that means I'm producing more than what my child needs. So like I am going to assume that my hormones are pretty fucking wacky.
Probably.
And that's why like I look the way that I look. That's why like I'm not gaining, I mean like I am, but like I probably could gain muscle at a better rate, sleep a little bit better, not have as much fat on my body. It's just cool and interesting for me to see like the different aspects of like, the scale doesn't necessarily always matter. But it's cool to compare at like the same weights of like, oh wow, like there was a point where I was at the same weight. I was definitely leaner. I definitely had a lot more density. And now it's like, oof, man, like I got a lot of fat on me, but like that's what I need right now, right? And I'm not competing. I couldn't compete if I wanted to because obviously my body is not optimal. And that's like essentially kind of where we're going to go with this conversation today. Because Ash got a question on her Q&As, kind of related to this topic. So I'm going to let you say the question because I don't have it anymore, I don't think. Oh, you do.
So the question was, at what point would you say a person with hormonal issues shouldn't compete because of the potential for relapse? And this is a question that is good to talk about, but very difficult to answer because people's prep really depends on like the success of their prep and the aftermath of like reversing and coming back to homeostasis and health. Is so dependent upon what the prep looks like and how they were set up. Let me give you a scenario. Someone that, has a lot of calories to pull from, that eats whole foods, that trains really hard, is willing to utilize something like thyroid replacement or hormonal replacement with TRT, they will likely have an easier prep, a healthier prep than someone who at 12 weeks out or 20 weeks out is eating 900 calories of if it fits your macros, doing 2 hours of cardio every single day, blasting clenbuterol, thyroid hormone, and just not sleeping for shit, right? You will get probably a first go around a very decent response from like abusing your body in that way. But you better believe there's going to be a fucking storm waiting for you because the bill's going to come due with your health, right? So it's something where we have to understand the idea of context. And like, did you have a shit hormonal response because maybe you had a poor coach that just pumped you full of drugs and created like such an extreme deficit with your calories, with expenditure and nutrition, that your body just fucking shut down? Or are you someone that still had a nasty, like regrouping, reversing process, even with a relatively healthier prep, by kind of taking into consideration the first example I gave? And that really matters, because if you had a shit experience at first, I could understand why you would be almost paralyzed to want to prep again, because you're like, well, if this is like, you know, I did a 20-week prep and I had like a 3-year fucking health phase, I could totally understand your fear, your apprehension to prep. But if you're someone that like, you know what, like, you know, prep is not healthy. There are healthier ways to prep, but it's not healthy. And yes, I'm going to have to take like health phases to restore hormones, restore body fat, restore fucking personhood. That's a different conversation.
So, question for you. So, let's use me as an example. So, my first prep was terrible. All if it fits in your macros, and whatnot. My second prep, obviously, a lot of things happened. I was actually in a decent spot, if you ask me, prior to prep, but yet I still ended up with a lot of hormonal dysregulation with thyroid issues and things like that. So, I guess another thing to take in consideration is like how long you're prepping and planning that out as well. Because so when I started my second prep, I was eating 2,700 calories, zero cardio. During that prep, my food never got below like 1,400 calories. I never had more than 55 minutes of cardio, but my season was 10 months long. So what do you say in that aspect? Like, does that also play the role too?
Absolutely. Context, right? When we talk about the idea of a contest prep or dieting, context is always key. In the same way we talk about drugs being like harmful, poisons in the dose and the duration and time in between, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something that also should be taken into consideration when it comes to entering into a contest prep, right? Like, realistically, like, how much body fat do you need to lose? Are you someone that honestly, like, you need to drop over 30, 40 pounds? Honestly, you probably shouldn't be entering into a contest prep. You probably should just be doing like a dieting phase and to get your body even ready to pull off the pounds. But again, fat loss does take time no matter how you spin it. So even if you have like a 10-month dieting phase with dieting breaks and stuff like that, some bodies, especially female bodies, are more resilient than others. And it does come down to the genetic component. Like, look at my prep. I was fucking vegan. I was, if it fits your macros, vegan. Okay, well, that just practically ruined like my hormonal health because I wasn't smart about it. And then to add insult to injury, I started playing around with PEDs before I even had a cycle. Well, now my hormonal state is tanked, right? So I'm on hormone replacement therapy. And that's the decision. And that's the outcome I have chosen because I still want to compete. I still want to be a bodybuilder, right? And with that, I'm not willing to, you know, train for 6 RIR for months on end. And I'm not willing to do all of the things to try to see if I can even get my hormones back naturally. Like, that's not a way that I'm willing to live my life. Like, I want to train. I want to train hard. And I want to do this thing. And so looking at even like my genetic history of periods, they were bad. You know, I was put on birth control at a very young age, like most women are. If you look at my genetic familial history, you know, my mom had a lot of history conceiving. She had horrible periods, unstable uterus. My grandma got a hysterectomy in her like late 40s, early 50s. So like, I don't have a robust family line of uterine health, ovarian health. So it's just something where some people just get a shit draw with genetics. Others have a shit few preps that just is hard to dig out from.
So the question that this person was asking is essentially this, like, kind of like when you should stop, right? So like, when should you not continue to compete, or when should you not go into a prep, or you away from bodybuilding, right? So I think that also too depends on the person. Like you said, you're a perfect example. Like you're just like, yeah, like I'm not waiting around. I want to do this. You're someone who knows you don't want kids. So like that happened. Yeah, with that aspect, you're like, okay, well, like as far as like hormonal health, like you can push a little bit harder. You don't have that in the back of your mind, right? And I also think it depends on like that person and like, are they willing to kind of go back and forth, so to speak? Because I think the question said like what, like relapsing or whatever it was. Was that the word?
Yeah, essentially the idea is like, when do you know that like competing really isn't worth it? If you have to like constantly take like, for example, like 3 or 4 years off just to feel fucking better.
So I would say I would be a good example of that because I am someone, one, who had a child, but two, also I have Hashimoto's. So we know that when I go into my prep, because that is my goal again, my thyroid function is obviously going to be dysregulated. My Hashimoto's, you know, no matter what we do, is not going to be as optimal as it was a year ago when we essentially put it in remission, right? Because we worked for over a year straight just to get me healthy, not to even work to get me back on stage. We weren't even building, like we were just working on gut health, thyroid health, female hormones, because I didn't have a cycle for almost over a year at that point. So like that took me a year just to get that after my last prep. Now, so when do you know, is it worth it or is it not? It's like, again, we come back to this and we've talked about this before. It's like, shoot, I want to compete again. So like, and I already know what that health phase entails. And even if it is a year or two longer, it's like, okay, like I've already done it. I can do it again. Sure. It was hard. But like, for me, it's like, okay, like I want to do this. I enjoy doing this. And trust me, there's been times where I was like, damn, like that just seems like a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. Honestly, context is just like, it is so important, right? Because again, if you especially have like such a hard first prep, because it wasn't done in the best way, taking into account like, you know, drugs, food, whatever, like it is going to be difficult to repair that. And plus it puts a bad taste in your mouth, especially if like you had a coach that was more on the abusive end, not just with your programming and protocols, but like, you know how some coaches are, where it's just like, shut the fuck up and do what I say. Like not feeling that you have a team member, you have a dictatorship, like that can also like put fear in an athlete's mind and make them even apprehensive to wanting to prep again. And then just that sheer trauma can honestly cause prep to not even go as smoothly as they may want it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like we've talked about this hundreds of times, is like competing is not healthy regardless of how people view it. And so there is going to be something that's, whether it's, like you said, the mental or the physical, like it's always going to be something. It's always going to be difficult, and something's always going to be, you know, dysregulated or quote unquote messed up. You know, we talk about like, there's a healthy way to do it. And yes, there is, but like, it's still not fucking healthy, guys. Like it's not. Mm-hmm. And you have to decide for yourself. And also too, like you have to decide for yourself, like you said, like what path you're going to choose, but like also too, like, to kind of go back to this question, is like, if your hormones are still really shitty, then like you definitely shouldn't fucking prep, right? Like you shouldn't do it. You're not in a good spot. It's not going to go well. It's going to be an uphill battle. You're going to honestly cause more harm than you already are at. Like if you, like, essentially, if like you're at the bottom of a grave, like you can't really, like you're only going to keep going lower. Like you're not going to be able to get yourself out because you're still doing the same shit. You're still digging and digging and digging. Like you're not building steps to get out. Yeah. And so, to answer that question again, it's just like, I mean, you shouldn't compete if your hormones aren't in a good spot, like at all. Like if, cause essentially like you're not even going to be able to lose fat. You're not going to be able to have an quote unquote easy prep. Like everything, like you said, you'd be at 900 calories at the start of your fucking prep 20 weeks in, like you're going to have all this cardio. You're going to have, you know, and granted, fat loss is hard. Sometimes you do have to get that low. You do have to grind in the gym for 2 hours of cardio, but like towards the end, not at the fucking start, dude. Yep. And the difference is too, though, like you grind that hard and your body responds versus grinding that hard and nothing's fucking happening, or you're becoming inflamed, like you're gaining weight, like your body's holding onto water, like it's having the opposite effect. So you shouldn't be even close to thinking about prep. And one thing that I can wholeheartedly say is, if you're someone who, which deeper and deeper I get into this, is like, people don't know what it's like to feel good. They really don't. Everything is quote unquote normal. Like, oh, it's normal to be bloated after I eat or shit my pants or to feel lethargic or to have a racing mind all night and not be able to sleep. Like, everyone does that. It's just stress or whatever. It's not. It's really fucking not. And I can tell you, like, for someone who like didn't feel normal their whole life and since I corrected my health, like, it may be like difficult for someone to give that up, so to speak, is knowing that prep is going to jeopardize all of those things again, and bring you back into a state of, you know, the poor hormones and mental spot. It's like, oof, do I want to give that up? So it's very individualized, like you said. It's like, dude,
Yeah. Let's just call it what it is. Prep is a controlled state of starvation. That's what it is. Like, you are literally starving. Literally. That is what you were doing to create the desired response. I think another way to phrase this question is, when is enough enough? Where's your line in the sand? Where's your hard stop? Like, what are you willing to sacrifice and give up to be a competitive bodybuilder on stage? And I do want to specify competitive bodybuilding versus just being a bodybuilder, because in my eyes, they are different. Like, anyone can be a bodybuilder and live the life without actually wanting to get dick skin lean on stage. But competitive bodybuilding has its risks, right? Whether it's in prep or even like deep in off season when your food is high, you're pushing drugs. But when is enough enough? Where is the line in the sand? Where are your reds, right? Or your hard stops? For me, I am not willing to push drugs to the point where it is detrimental to my health and lab work, where I am losing time with Eric. That's a hard fucking stop. Like, I'm not willing to die for competitive bodybuilding. I'm not. And some people are. And if you are that person, like, that's, you have to own that decision. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the idea of health, like, you have to define and give yourself like boundaries to where, like, what are you willing to sacrifice, especially long term?
Yes, I agree. Like, when is enough enough? But I will say, just as human behavior and the way that we are and how addictive we can become, like, it's always one of those things, though, too. It's like, okay, you have this hard boundary and like you have to stay to it regardless, like, how deep you are in, because like you don't know. And like, this is a scary thing because you don't know like when the tipping point is. Like, you're like, I'm not willing to push this much drugs. And it's like, on paper, like, cool, like, yeah, like you shouldn't be over this, but some people like, I can handle a little bit more. I can do a little bit. Of course I can. I've been doing it. You know, like, let's just push it a little bit further. Let's bend that line. Let's bend that boundary. And I think that's where, you know, issues have been happening. And you, like you said, like, some people, it's worth it. They're like, I will die for bodybuilding. And cool, that's great. I think some people do have hard boundaries, but like, they don't know where that line is, right? Like, so I think a good example is like someone who wants to have a baby, post competing, and it's like, okay, well, but I also want to be really competitive. Okay, like, possible, but like, also too, like, you may come to that point where you're like, I don't want to push drugs so hard, or I don't even want to push drugs at all so I can have a baby, but like, or I want to do some drugs, but like, I'll still be able to have it, but like, how much can you do without irreversible damage? You don't know.
And
You
that's
don't
my
know.
thing. Like, especially the whole mom thing. Like, if you want to be a mother, but you also want to push drugs as a bodybuilder, those to me are conflicting goals. It's like when a client comes to you being like, oh, I want to shred fat and gain muscle. And it's like, but they're conflicting, right? They require like different avenues and different pathways. And I'm not a mom, so I can't speak to being a mother in any facet. I can only speak to being a caretaker and a caregiver to my own mother. So, in my opinion, though, if you were like, oh no, I am firm, dead set on having a family, your mentality, in my opinion, should be, I want to have a healthy child, which means your health needs to be healthy. I'm sorry, a plastic trophy, a medal, a card that says you're a professional athlete. Imagine that you could not have a healthy child if because you were unhealthy because of drugs or whatever. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in those shoes. I would never forgive myself. I never would. Like,
It would
imagine that for a second.
definitely like a very heavy burden to take on, and it would be a lot of like guilt and blame and self-blame. I think another issue that can be tied into here, though, is a lot of people have done it, though. Like, a lot of people have used drugs and then have a kid after. So it gives them that perception of like, oh, well, everyone's done it. I can probably do it. You know, I just need to take the time to heal. Or another thing I've seen is just like it's a lot of IVF too, which is like, I don't think that's talked about enough too, is a lot of people will use IVF, post. Actually, I know right off the top of my head, I can think of four people that have done IVF post competing just to get pregnant. And it's been a very long, expensive, hard journey for them. And I don't talk to them. I don't know if it was like personally worth it. Like, was it worth it to do all those years of bodybuilding? Granted, they have healthy babies now, but like that whole year or two or three of seeing all of those pregnancy tests show up negative, or to become pregnant and then not have it, you know, make it to full term. Like, was that stress worth it to you? I don't know. I don't talk to them, but it's one of those things. It's like, that's the reality of it. That could happen. So it's like, again, when is enough enough? Like, when you, where can you draw the line? You know,
I would like to interject here. I had to go through my own grieving process and accept that my actions as a bodybuilder essentially created an aspect where I can't conceive unless I wanted to. So if Eric and I ever did, we're just like, oh, psych guys, like I would not be able to get pregnant most likely, even with IVF. I mean, granted, like if I wanted to spend all of that money and invest all that money into producing a child, like, and if it was super important, Eric and I would figure it out. But like, in a way, I had to grieve for the fact that like my actions are the reason why I cannot have children, because like, I don't have a period. Like, I haven't had a consistent period since I competed, right? Since I like stepped on stage, and that was 5 years ago. So it is something where it's like, you have to understand that like when you are competing, you are going to have interference in your health state hormonally, mentally, and physically. And if you are someone that like is dead set on bodybuilding and having a family, like you are just playing with fire. You might be someone that honestly, if your fucking hormonal like state is so good and you're having your period on peak week, like shit, maybe you have those great genetics. But if you're someone with like mediocre or less optimal genetics when it comes to your resiliency with hormones, like how, like what is it worth it? Is it worth it to step on stage? Like, why do you need to step on stage? Like, what's your why? Like, why do you have to step on stage? Why can't we just do like, you know, look good in a bikini or do a photo shoot or something like that? Like something that doesn't require that level of dig to get to that level of leanness. Like, that's just like my question and like my like thought process.
I think we just don't understand cause and effect. You said like, what I want to point out is like you said, my actions have led to this, right? And, you know, I mean, perfect examples is like someone who smokes, they get cancer. That's an action that you're doing. And then you, you know, end up with the side effects or the repercussions of it. I mean, I did a prep uneducated on health and I got an autoimmune disorder, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to live with. And now I'm, you know, I get to make the decision, like, do I want to do that again? You know, knowing what I know now, knowing what I have now, like I have an autoimmune, there's no cure. That's lifelong. I mean, sure, we've put it in remission, but like, I don't know. I really don't know like what the probability of like putting it back in remission is. I don't, I really don't. Like some of that stuff is irreversible. I mean, you know, once you damage your thyroid enough, it's just not going to signal anymore. You know, it's not, it's, I mean, it's going to continue to attack itself. Right. You know, and I can do everything in my power to be like, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free, thyroid medications, low stress, not competing. Right. I can do all of these things, but it could still potentially just get worse, just how my body is. Right. I can prevent it. I can slow the rate of it getting worse, but like it's going to, and that's something that I'm going to have to live with from my 2021 prep. Like there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like there's people that ask me, they're like, do you think you got it from the COVID vaccine that you got? Maybe, but like, I can guarantee you that like, it was that prep. It was that prep, and it was the psychological stress and the leaky gut that I had is what just stimulated all of it and made it a shit show. But, and like I said, like, that's just my cause and effect. And like, honestly, like I took those actions and like, now I know, and it's like, now I can make that decision of like, will it ever be worth it? Right. Like, do I want to have more kids? Like, do I want to use PEDs for my next prep and jeopardize having, you know, kids? Or do I want my Hashimoto's to get bad again? Because we know, research shows that with Hashimoto's, like, it's very hard to conceive. It's very hard to have a full-term pregnancy. So it's like, when is enough enough? And only I can decide that. Right. Yep. And not only that, but like my decision can be based off like labs, how I feel and my moral ethics, values, and my moral code of like, you know, where am I at? So like this question, I think I really like it actually that this person asked it, but it's very hard to answer because it's based on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is like just a conversation between friends that like what I am saying is not a judgment, or it's not I don't know. It's just not a judgment where it's like, if you are a female and you do want to use peds and have a family, like I'm not telling you you're a piece of shit. I'm trying to put myself in that situation, which is right. difficult to do because I am someone that doesn't have children nor desires to have children. But still, it's like, it's a good topic of conversation because like, it is something that comes across people's minds. Like when is enough enough when it comes to drugs, competing, family life, whatever. And I think before you even start like saying that you want to be a competitive bodybuilder, it comes back to having the right why. Why do you want to compete and step on stage? And a follow-up, already having this before you even technically hire a coach even, when is enough enough? Try to have that figured out. Talk to people about it. Talk to your friends. Have accountability partners. Because once you get in the sport, if you are someone that is highly addictive, has that type A personality, you will, like Ash already said, you will start to budge. And your boundaries are not somewhere that you want to budge if you are like keeping in the back of your mind health or something.
And I think too, like, that's why there's so much resentment when people leave. Like this
dude, yeah.
When you're like, I just like, oh my God, I just love when we have like, I have like an epiphany while we're recording this. Like, I need to start asking like new competitors, like when they come in, like, when is enough enough? Because like, yeah. I'm going to hold you to that. Because like you said, what's one more show? What's one more season? What's one more this? Like one of my best fucking friends, we met through competitive bodybuilding and she ran herself into the ground and she hates the sport. Like she's still obviously, respects that like I do it and I'm in it. Like she doesn't just tell me like I'm retarded because it's my whole life, right? But like nonetheless, she's just doesn't do it, wouldn't ever want to do it again. But she was someone that was like just kept pushing farther and farther. And it's like, oh, what's one more show? I really want to get my pro card. Oh, I placed top two. But like in your heart, you weren't in there anymore. You didn't want it. You didn't like it. And it's like, oh, but what's one more show? What's one more year? And at that point, like you've gone past what you're burnt out. You've gone past what you wanted to push the envelope on. I mean, like some people are like, I just want to compete, you know, maybe a couple years to see how far I go. But then there's people that are doing it for 10, 12, 14 years and their whole life is different, right? Because of it. And I think it's a really good point to be like, okay, like why do you want to do this? And what is the stopping point? Like what is the end all be all, so to speak. And it's like, where does that lie? And that's something that needs to be held accountable as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I already know, I made a post about this where it was like newsflash or like hard to swallow pills, like, but we never said it was healthy. Like a lot of people, they see a physique or they see actions and like, oh, that's automatically healthy because our culture is so skewed and fucked up on what is or is not healthy. Like you order a salad at a restaurant. Oh, are you dieting? Like our perception of what is healthy is so fucked up. Oh, you sleep 8 hours a night. What? That's like, why do you sleep that? Like, I only get three. Like, go ahead. You're like, you're having an infarction over there. Go ahead, Nurse Ash.
Cause I like, I mean, I don't know if you get this, but like all the time, people are like, why do you walk so much? I don't really walk that much. I don't even walk 10,000 steps a day. Like I walk maybe eight, but I think that's like what I have to get, whatever. I go on like two walks a day, maybe 30, 40 minutes each.
Yeah.
That's really not that fucking much.
Dude, I bet you my grandma, like unless she's going to church or Bible study, I bet you she probably gets on a good day, like 400 steps.
Dude, I mean, that's me today, but still like people think like, oh my God, like you're walking. Like that's so bad. Think about when you go on vacation, people, like you walk to the restaurant, you walk here, you walk there, you walk, you know, I'm just like, you guys don't even think anything of it, but like at home, it's like, oh, you're walking. Are you trying to, you know, fit into your summer jeans or this and that? Like, no, I'm just.
Dude, I had a guy, I was on a walk a Sunday morning. I had a guy stop me. He was like, are you okay? What's wrong? I was like, what? I literally like, I had a 404 error, like flash across my face. I was like, I don't understand your question. Like, what do you mean? Am I okay? He's like, you're walking. I was like, yeah, walking outside to go on a walk. Like I had my weighted vest on. I like had my earphones in and motherfucker thinks I'm like some damsel in distress that he needs to like rescue me on a Sunday morning. That's how foreign walking is nowadays. It's like, Jesus Christ, we have fallen so far. So Therefore, when people like look at bodybuilding, they're like, oh, it has to be healthy because they're eating a vegetable, they're drinking water, they're sleeping. Like, it is so skewed, not realizing that, yes, there are healthy aspects to bodybuilding, like following through on what you say you want to accomplish, like being rehearsed on nutrition, eating better, like moving your body, pushing yourself. Like, there are definitely positive aspects to it. But when you focus on competing, no matter like what spectrum you're on, whether it is contest prep or off season, you are either in a state of starvation or purpose overfeeding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's something where it's like that becomes the element on like the spectrum of it no longer becoming healthy, because it can start to cause health issues, especially if done over and over and over again. Again, talking about that context when it comes to things accumulating, stressors accumulating over time.
Mm-hmm. Like people who compete back to back to back to back to back to back, to back. Like, like 6 months off season, which I think the industry is getting a little bit better at this from what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, you know, when I was competing, it was like, go, 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 go.
Oh yeah.
It was just like, I honestly think like the mindset was like, oh, let's just, you know, get them in a spot reversed enough that calories are high enough that we can just diet again.
Yeah, dude, it wasn't like, well, oh, what show are you doing? It's how many shows are you doing? Right. Mm-hmm. And that is like, thankfully, in some coaches have like swapped that mentality where it's like, look, if you need to do like a warm-up show before you do hit a national stage or whatever, fine. But it's no longer like, oh yeah, I'm an amateur and I'm keep competing like six times in the next like 2 months.
Dude, I was at the gym like a week ago and I was like talking to someone that has done like two shows, and one was in April and one was in May. And then I was just talking to them and they're like, yeah, I'm going to compete again in the fall. I'm going to try and do two or three more shows. And I was like, damn, that's a lot. They're like, well, yeah, I want to get my money out of the NPC card. I was like, I've never heard that.
I have never heard that either.
I was shocked. I was like, that's your reasoning? And I mean, I didn't say anything. I was just like, well,
wait, hold on. That's some fucking girl math. It is $150 for the card and you want to get the most out of your $150, $125 card that you are going to pay more money to the NPC by competing more frequently. So rather than a $150 investment, you are spending now $5,000 on multiple shows.
Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's good luck.
that's like a buy one, get one 50% off. Like, that's not a good deal.
I've heard people say, well, I'm already lean enough. Like, I might as well, like, I'm already this lean. I did all the work. I might as well just do another show. I was like, okay, well, yeah, whatever. But like, I've never heard the fact of like, because I bought the NPC card, I want to get my money worth out of it. I'm like, well, you're spending, it's not like you're saving money. Right. Like, it's not like the zoo pass where like you pay, you know, $400 and you have to go like 10 times to meet $400 versus like, it's not like you're going to these shows and it evens it out. Like, you're spending more money at each show. It was just weird. It's interesting.
You're like, you're not going to the zoo. Like, what? Do you want the tiger to remember who you are? Like that is wild to me. I have never heard that before. Like,
I thought it was interesting. I was like, wow, that's a new one.
But like, you're spending more money. That makes no fucking sense. Like, none.
Yeah, which is interesting. And then, you know, there's me that literally just said like 2 minutes ago, I think the industry's changing and people are having longer off seasons. And then I just share that story. So,
I mean, like, you know, N of one is not like a good study, but still, that's wild, dude.
It definitely was. Yeah.
Wild.
I was
like, okay. But yeah, just to like bring this back full circle, when it comes to like, if you're someone that has like health issues or health issues because of contest prep, because of competing, like, why are you wanting to compete? When is enough enough? Like, what are you willing to compromise? What are you willing to not compromise? Are you well enough to understand that like your actions have consequences? And are you willing to have a support system? Are you willing to make sure you have a good coach to hold you accountable for your boundaries? Because like, I guarantee you, anyone in this industry that doesn't have a good heart will fucking take your money and put bodies on the stage just to have bodies on the stage. But if you work with someone that genuinely gives a fuck about you as a person, like, they will know when enough is enough, because they will see the biofeedback. They will listen to you. They will understand that, hey, listen, like, things are starting to like not work the way that they should be. And we need to stop and get ahead before your body tells us to fucking stop. Like, that is how you know you have a good person on your team, that again, it's a teamwork dynamic, not a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, dude. Like, that's when you know it's like they just put bodies on stages for them, not for you.
Yeah. Oh, that breaks my heart in like a lot of ways, because it's just like there are so many of us that get into coaching that just want to help people, like genuinely help people, whether it is like get into the best shape of their life, you know, make a better placing, feel fucking better. And then there are people that are just like, hey, you want to step on stage? Like, here's 900 calorie meal plan, 2 hours of cardio, 120 micrograms of clen. Good fucking luck. No changes.
Yeah. See you on show day.
See you on show day. That's right. Looking good, champ.
Yeah. Oops. It's out there though. It's the reality of it, guys. But yeah. That's all I have on my end. I think that was a really good conversation. So, I mean, you wrapped it up. It comes down to you as a person and what you're willing and not willing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm going to go eat some figs. I hope you have a good rest of your day. Get your booty moving. Like, I want to see a screenshot of your fucking watch when you're done.
Yeah, I'll send it over.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Peace.